me. You began searching your memory banks for a photo of an old barn. The exact picture that you accessed in your memory archives depends on your past and current life experience. So, what does the phrase old barn bring to your mind? Is it a memory from childhood, when you and a friend explored an abandoned old barn that became a secret clubhouse or a place for hiding treasures? Maybe you grew up on a farm and have first-hand knowledge of old barns, or perhaps you pictured a photo spread in Architectural Digest showing a spectacular home created from a renovated old barn. Maybe the first image that came to mind was from last night's rerun of Little House on the Prairie that your 7-year-old daughter was watching, or the DVD rental of Cold Mountain you watched this past weekend. The point is that whatever image came to mind, your understanding of the phrase old barn is based entirely on your life experience. If you had never seen an old barn, your memory banks would be empty and the phrase would have no meaning to you. The words we use have no raw definitions. Instead, from our life experiences, we fill up mental containers, containers of understanding and meaning that we call words. And because your life experience is different from my life experience, the connotations of words, our understanding of what those words mean, will vary from person to person. Some definitions and images from the past are innocuous and pleasant, but others conjure up a whole range of uncomfortable emotions. For example, if you were visiting your grandparents' farm when their barn caught fire and you watched it go up in flames, killing some of your grandpa's prized cattle, then the phrase old barn will evoke entirely different images and emotions for you than it does for me. So here's an important lesson. Not only do words and phrases evoke images from our complex archives of experience, but they also tap into our emotions and, in some cases, create involuntary responses. What is true for an old barn is also true for the words and phrases we use to talk about Christianity. When we use words like gospel, salvation, repentance, and sin, we need to be aware that the people we're talking to may not have the same understanding of those words as we do. If we grew up in a conservative Baptist home, for example, the views we have toward various Christian concepts will be different from the views of someone who grew up in a Catholic home or who was agnostic toward God but rigorously committed to logic, rationality, and high integrity. For someone who has had a bad experience with Christians or Christianity, these words may evoke negative emotions that get in the way of our ability to talk to them about Jesus. At the very least, we have to be aware that our differences in understanding may create static in our communication. Before we take a closer look at some specific examples of this type of static, I need to mention another issue that is just as important as the idea that the language we use is loaded with.